This evening, we're going to be continuing our study of the Old Testament book by book with an overview of the book of Hosea. By the way, it is pronounced Hosea, not Hosea. Jose is Spanish, Hosea is Hebrew, I guess, something like that. But anyway, Hosea is the first of the 12 minor prophets, the last section of the Old Testament. And in the Hebrew Bible, the last 12 books, as we have them divided anyway, the minor prophets are contained all in one scroll. And Hosea is the first of those minor prophets that is recorded on that scroll, which therefore implies to most people anyway that his was probably the earliest of the writings of the minor prophets. And it was recognized by such, by the Hebrews, therefore the reason as to why it was put in first place. In all the Bible, there is hardly anything else like the book of Hosea. This is described as, Hosea is described as a magnificent prophet that actually stands in the sacred text as a type, representation of the Messiah who is to come. And that he is one who demonstrates the unselfish love which he lavished upon those who were erring away from being faithful to God, and of course, representative even in his wife as that which was descriptive of the children of Israel. The author is Hosea. And he wrote somewhere in the neighborhood of between 750 and 725 B.C. The book is written to the Jews of the northern kingdom of Israel. And in fact, more than 44 times in the book of Hosea does he address the northern kingdom of Israel in this short book of 14 chapters. The purpose of the book of Hosea would certainly include his appeal to Israel. And Hosea, by inspiration, his appeal to Israel was that they realize the nature as well as the enormity of their sins that they were guilty of. Secondly, that they understand the necessity of the divine judgment of which they are going to be the recipients of. And thirdly, the triumph of loyalty and love by God over their rebelliousness. Hosea has an appeal to every generation, in actuality, to those of the Jews of Israel. It is to know that apostasy from God is, in fact, spiritual adultery. And that is the very message that is brought out in the book of Hosea, that when the children of Israel left God, there was no difference in that, as far as God was concerned, than when Hosea's wife, Gomer, left him and committed adultery. That was the very picture that God is trying to represent. And but he uses the actual life of Hosea as the word picture for that. God's judgment upon Christians, even today, who sin against his love and become entangled again in the pollutions of this world. Peter says that their latter end is worse than the beginning, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. And so Hosea brings out as well that sin demands punishment, and therefore they must be judged and disciplined. But it also brings out that perfect love must punish. Perfect love must punish the impenitent rebel. And that is exactly what God does to the nation of Israel. Sometimes we hear parents say, "I love my children too much to punish them." No, in actuality, you don't love them enough then. That's the fact of the matter. You don't love them enough if you're not willing to punish them. God punishes his own children because he loves them. And that is exactly what is taking place or going to take place that Hosea prophesies about. God suffers when he is sinned against. And yet he loves in spite of sin and seeks to restore the sinner so that he can save him. That is his ultimate goal, is to save those that are lost. By way of background concerning the book of Hosea, as well as the man Hosea himself, as far as the prophet Hosea, his name means deliverance or salvation, that Jehovah saves or God is salvation. But I also included here the definitions of the other names that are prevalent in this book. His wife Gomer, her name means completion or completed whoredom, which certainly would illustrate her very appropriately. Their son, Jezreel, his name means God scatters or God sows. This is, by the way, the only one of the three children that is actually credited as being Hosea's. The other two children are simply spoken of as being Gomer's children. Lo Ruhamah, or something similar to that by pronunciation, means not pitied or unpitied, no pity, and yet she is described as the daughter of Gomer. Lo Ami means not my people. Again, son of Gomer is the way that he is described. Hosea is the son of Beri, or Beri, which means fountain or one who explains. And the indication seems to be, or at least there's some credence that is given to the idea, that Beri may very well have been a priest, and therefore one who explains would be a correct description of a priest, and therefore appropriate as far as his name was concerned. Hosea prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II, who reigned from 786 to 726 approximately, shortly after the prophet Amos, and was contemporary with Isaiah and Micah, who were prophesying in the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Isaiah was prophesying at the same time down in Judah as Hosea was in the north country of Israel. Hosea is the only one of the writing prophets who was actually from Israel, the northern kingdom, and preached to Israel. Now, we have others of the prophets who are going to preach to Israel, but they're from the southern kingdom of Judah. Hosea is the only one of the writing prophets that is actually from Israel. Therefore, he's speaking to his own people when he does this. Amos was one, for example, who was preaching to Israel, but he was from Judah. And so Hosea's call came at a time when there was outward prosperity among those in the nation of Israel, but there was inward decay, and the decay was as a canker that was truly out of control in eating up the spirituality of the people of the northern kingdom of Israel. And out of his agony of heart, Hosea learned the true nature of sin as far as God is concerned, because the very things that he lived were the very things that God was feeling as far as the people were concerned in their sin. And out of his agony, he learned that in fact God suffers over the sins of his people because of his undying love, not in spite of his love. Hosea was an eyewitness to those depraved events that took place that he describes, and he is one that speaks from firsthand observation concerning these things. I made mention this morning that Brother Rex Turner Sr. Describes the book of Hosea as being the preacher with a swinging wife, and that is not meant to be funny. It is not meant as a compliment either. It is a very sad situation that is exactly what takes place. And swinging wife simply, by the way, refers to the fact that she was willing to commit adultery basically with anybody that came along. And yet Hosea's great love for her, he always sought to bring her back, to entice her to come back home, if that would be possible. There's nothing that's known concerning the prophet Hosea, except for what we might glean from the study of his particular book. Hosea predicts, but does not record the actual captivity of Israel, though the indication seems to be he was actually alive when Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians in 722 or 721 BC. But he certainly would have been very old when it happened. His compassion for his wife Gomer, his undying love for her, must rank among one of the greatest love epics of the whole history of the human race. And he is the prophet that is described as the prophet of unrequited love. And certainly that is true. As far as the book of Hosea, Hosea is a treatise on repentance, an exhibition of God's method in restoring those who had become backsliders from his divine love, and yet he will restore them by his divine love. The book contains great variety of thought expressed in vivid figures of speech, and Hosea uses the term whoredom some 16 times in describing not only Gomer, but also the children of Israel of the northern kingdom. The conditions of Israel, by way of background, is that outwardly they were very prosperous, but inwardly, as we made mention before, they were dying of a cancer. And during the reign of Jeroboam II, there was a brief Indian summer, if you will, concerning the nation of Israel before their final decline and destruction by the Assyrians, 2 Kings chapter 15. During the last 25 years of the northern kingdom, six kings reigned over the northern kingdom, four of whom were murdered while in office. And God's people had forgotten his law. They had substituted the worship of Baal for the worship of Jehovah God, and they practiced the grossest immoralities as if there were no problems with them. They were guilty of idolatry. They were guilty of lying and drunkenness and lust and robbery and murder and even treason. And the false gods whom Israel adopted included the leading gods of the Canaanites, which certainly included the false god of El and Baal and Dagon, as well as their feminine counterparts, Asherah, Astarte, and Anath. The major object of the religious rites was to obtain fertility for man, for animal, and for the fields. And their ritualistic fornication, which was adultery, and their bestiality were engaged in worship to these false deities. And the immorality of the whole people was nearly unbelievable, as Hosea brings forth in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The keys to the book. The key word to the book of Hosea is the word return, because that is God's plea for them to return to faithfulness, of which they, of course, will never do. Key phrase is, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. Key verses would include Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, which says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Imagine such a description from the prophet of God, of the people of God, that Hosea says, there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. And yet that was an accurate description of the northern kingdom of Israel. And then also verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children, God says. The key chapter is chapter 4. Because here in this chapter, just as Hosea's wife Gomer became unfaithful to him, Israel has become unfaithful to God. And as Hosea continued to love her and forgave Gomer and restored her, so God continued to love Israel and to seek to restore her. But they would not heed God's appeals as expressed by Hosea, and their spiritual adultery caused their downfall and finally their destruction. An outline of the book of Hosea is given to you here. It is basically broken down into three main points. That is, descriptive of love rebuffed, as it was demonstrated through Gomer's ingratitude to Hosea, but then also through Israel's ingratitude toward God. Love rebuked, because of the reproving that takes place, both of Gomer and of Israel, and the remonstrating that takes place and the requiting, but then finally love reconciling. And even though Gomer will be reconciled to Hosea, Israel will not be reconciled to God. And then the last verse of chapter 14 is basically a postscript that is given by Hosea, that as he closes out that book, he says, "Who is wise, and he understand these things? He shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein." When you examine the book of Hosea, Hosea's message is not specifically messianic, as the book of Isaiah was, and Isaiah is prophesying at the same time, only down in Judah. But it is certainly intended that we should find that its overall and ultimate focus is the Messiah, as well as the Messiah's kingdom that is to come. And it's evident of that because of the quotations that are made from the book of Hosea by Jesus as well as the apostles in the first century. By Paul, Romans chapter 9, by Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, and even Jesus himself, Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, will quote Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And so it certainly looks toward the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah, though that is not the main theme of this particular book, even though it was very much the theme of the book of Isaiah. What are some of the lessons that we can learn from this particular book? There certainly are many, but I've listed just a few. One is that, in fact, God suffers when he is sinned against by his people. God suffers greatly when we sin against him and against his will. And yet he loves, in spite of sin, he seeks to restore us so that he can save us, because he does desire our salvation. With all of our ingratitude, unfaithfulness, and unworthiness, yet the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter says, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God continues to love us and calls us to repentance and victory in Christ over sin and over death, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 57, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And he will forgive and abundantly pardon those who genuinely repent and turn to him in loving obedience to his will. Repent, change of mind, which brings about a change in action. And that's exactly what he required of the children of Israel. We can also learn from the book of Hosea that life with God is in fact the best. Israel had rejected knowledge and had forgotten God as well as his law. So the law was strange to them. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, as we read just a few moments ago, chapter 8, verse 11, and also verse 14. They had cast off the thing that is good, Hosea chapter 8, verse 3. But after following many lovers, and finding no happiness with them, Israel would say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Hosea 2, verse 7. Life with God, of course, is always best, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, as we noted from chapter 14, verse 9. Not only do we learn that God suffers when we sin against him, and that life with God is in fact best, but we can also learn concerning the goodness of God as it is spoken of here in the book of Hosea. Because the persistent theme, or a persistent theme in the book of Hosea, is God's unceasing love for his people, but also his grief over their sins. And he grieves over their sins because of his love for them, his desire for them to be right. And just as Hosea sought to allure Gomer, his unfaithful wife, God would seek Israel to speak comfortably with her, Hosea 2, verse 14, and betroth her unto himself in loving kindness and faithfulness forever, verses 19 and 20. God cried in chapter 11, verse 8, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Mine heart is turned within me. He appealed to Israel for them to return to him, to return unto the Lord their God, so that God could heal their backsliding, as he assured them, I will love them fully, for mine anger is turned away from him. Chapter 14, verse 4. God will also teach us that he remembers wickedness. Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. I remember all their wickedness. Israel had played the harlot, chapter 9, verse 1. And the people thought that their evil deeds would go unnoticed by God, and they did not, just as they do not today. Malachi tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, that God has a book of remembrance, as if he could forget. But he does not miss anything that takes place. Finally, we can learn from the book of Hosea that true prophets are in fact the voice of God. They are the ones by whom God preserves his people. But he can only preserve his people if they heed the warnings and the admonitions from the prophets. And yet so many times in the Old Testament, as we've already noticed, and we're going to notice it several more times as we go through the minor prophets, the people would not heed the prophets of God. They would not heed what they taught them from the Word of God. They refused to be turned from their own evil desires and evil wishes. The crowning jewel of the book of Hosea is, in fact, that last verse from Hosea chapter 14, verse 9, which answers the question, who is wise? Of course, the answer is those who walk in the ways of the Lord. They are the ones who are truly wise. They are the ones that God calls wise. And just as we've noted when we were going through the book of Psalms and other places, when God calls someone a fool, you know that in fact they are a fool. But when God describes the wise, we can know for sure that that is truly a wise man who will heed and abide by those things that God says. An overview of the book of Hosea. The minor prophets, as we've brought out at other times, are considered to be minor prophets, described as minor prophets, simply because they didn't write as much as the major prophets. And we don't necessarily intend to go into more detail with the minor prophets than we did with the major prophets, but there are certainly a good number of lessons that we can bring from each of these books, even though they may not have very many chapters as we have them divided up. Certainly it is such that we can learn concerning the goodness of God, and that God calls those who have wandered off, those who have left the straight and narrow path back to repentance, just as he did those of Israel. But it also teaches us, and may we never forget, that we can rebel to the point where we just simply say no to God's request, no to God's call to come back. And that's exactly what the children of Israel did. Their hearts had become so hardened, they refused to abide by God's law and God's will. Therefore, they committed spiritual adultery with God.